We start the hour, as we always do, with headlines that you need to know. We have some breaking news here from Woj. It's a little bit of a Woj bomb. Zach Lowe and Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that a panel will be looking at NBA medical records. NBA team personnel expected to be asked to submit personal medical histories to a panel of physicians who would review their individual risk of serious illness due to any spread of coronavirus in the NBA's bubble environment in Orlando, sources have told ESPN. Unclear what authority, if any, that panel might have in prohibiting any personnel from attending Orlando or placing any limitations upon them. But there is some anxiety about such limitations among teams, according to sources. So one of the significant factors in establishing risk for health complications due to coronavirus is advanced age. And that's a curious thing to see how they'll handle it. Because remember, New Orleans' Alvin Gentry, 65. Mike D'Antoni of Houston, 69. Greg Popovich of San Antonio, 71. Perhaps all vulnerable to recommendations of those evaluation. So we'll see how that moves forward for the NBA. But not surprisingly, at this point, we're going to start to see a little bit of a conversation about the whens, the hows, and the whys when it looks across the board of how they're going to make sure everybody is staying safe. Next up in the headlines that you need to know, we got a little bit of boxing news here. Looks like we've got a couple of fights coming. Promoter Eddie Hearn says rival world heavyweight champions Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury have agreed to the basics of a deal to fight twice in 2021. No contracts are signed yet. The first fight likely to happen in the summer of 2021. Venues dates have yet to be agreed to, while both English boxers have defenses of their titles to get through for the first two fights, or for the two fights to happen. Interesting note that they have agreed to a two fight deal. So this is not just one fight between them, but will instead be a fight and, of course, some sort of a rematch. And lastly, as we continue through the headlines that you need to know, amid a global wave of demonstrations against racism, the International Olympic Committee said Wednesday it would open talks that could let athletes make stronger protests at the Games. Only 5 months ago, the Olympic body strengthened its ban on political statements by specifying the gestures such as taking a knee or raising a fist on a metal podium, remain prohibited. But the IOC's public stance eased a little bit Wednesday when its president said the in-house athlete committee would, quote, explore different ways opinions could be expressed during the Games while still respecting the Olympic spirit. We're in an ever-changing world. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, SiriusXM, Channel 80, the ESPN app. Heck, you can even talk to your smart speakers. Just tell them to play ESPN Radio. Get you to me. I'm Jason Fitz, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. We've got an important guest coming up in just a few minutes to break down some of what we're going to get to next. Time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Before we get to this, I do want to get some thoughts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I love getting your take in, and I asked you earlier to chime in. If Major League Baseball comes back, are you all in for it? Marty in Cincinnati, what's your Major League Baseball take?
Hey, Fitzy. Listen, I think avid baseball fans will forgive and forget quickly and welcome baseball back. I also think that if we're patient, what we learn from this abbreviated season is going to pay off down the line. And what I mean by that is maybe a shortened regular season, an expanded playoffs, universal DH, which I'm personally for, even though I'm kind of an old school baseball guy. But I think particularly in major league markets, where we love our teams, Cincinnati, St. Louis, et cetera, I think you're going to see people welcome it back. We recognize this is a business. It always has been, always will be, no different than the NBA or NFL. So I think we'll welcome it back, and I expect better things as a result down the line.
Marty, I appreciate your take, genuinely, because part of what I'm trying to do here is talk to diehard baseball fans. Now, you're an old school baseball guy, and baseball means something special to you, and I've spent a lot of time in Cincinnati. I know how much it means to that city, right? So I love the perspective on it, and I respect the heck out of it. If you're willing to go back, it's your product to have and to hold, right? So if you're willing to go back to it and understand the business side of it, kudos to you. Maybe baseball fans on the whole are more invested in understanding in this than I'm giving them credit for. Let's get some more Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And the Straight Talk comes in a couple of forms. I want to start by not speaking for, but letting you hear directly from Bubba Wallace, NASCAR driver. He was on Golic and Wingo this morning and had a very serious conversation with the guys on the morning show about NASCAR banning the Confederate flag from races. This is what Bubba Wallace said this morning on Golic and Wingo.
My typical answer was, I don't really see the Confederate flags. I obviously I do see them. They're flying high and inside the infields. And you read some of the comments of people won't come to races of African-American descent. They won't come to races simply because the Confederate flag is flying. And, you look at that, it's like, okay, we are a very selfish nation. I feel like I'll take credit. I'm very selfish. But it's not about us. It's about other people. It's about coming together and treating your neighbors like they're your brothers and sisters. We're all brothers and sisters in this world. So, if it makes them feel uncomfortable, let's just take it down. Let's just get rid of it. No disrespect, but it's time to make people feel welcome. That's what we're fighting for. We don't feel welcomed in this world. The African-American community does not feel welcome. And I think we can help that by removing Confederate flags. If it bothers them, then let's make that change.
That's Bubba Wallace this morning on Go Look at Wingo. Now, before everybody erupts, and I'll let you chime in on this, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to hear a couple of different things. First and foremost, you're going to hear from First Take. And after you hear from First Take, I'm going to have a conversation about this with, I think, one of the best NASCAR minds we have, Ryan McGee. So before we get to Ryan, I want you to hear what Dominique Foxworth had to say on First Take today about NASCAR and whether or not they have a duty to ban the Confederate flag.
Of course. By the way, was it the Marines yesterday who finally said no more Confederate flags anywhere? Like, does the U.S. military, how would it persist this long that the U.S. military allowed the flag, the racist flag of Southern treason to exist on military vessels that were fought against by the people bearing that flag? What is this? By an enemy army trying to destroy our army, and the flag was—it's insane. Now look, the point of abolishing the Confederate flag in public spaces as much as possible—it's people's rights if they want to wave any flag they want. This is America, after all. You know, the ACLU defended neo-Nazis' rights to wave swastikas in Skokie, Illinois, and we are America. You're allowed to say what you want, but any organization that condones or even allows within a private organization that flag, or any arm of the government that allows or condones it, that's a real problem. It always has been a problem. This is nothing new. And the point is not to humiliate white people in the South, because I understand that many of them will tell you, well, no, this doesn't mean that we're pro-slavery or something. This means that we have Southern pride. But in fact, if you look at the Declaration of the Seceding States, the Southern states who fought against the United States of America in the Civil War, all of them, right in the first paragraph, they mentioned slavery right there. That's what they were fighting for. It wasn't a war of it wasn't a war against an aggression, you know, the Northern aggression or anything. That's made up nonsense that the Daughters of the Confederacy smuggled into Southern textbooks. So I realize a lot of people, and I'm not talking about the people of bad will here, the bad faith actors here, you can't help them, whatever, you know, they're the bad guys, right? I'm talking about people who really don't know any better and who say, well, this might have been what the Confederate flag meant once upon a time to other people, but that's not the way I grew up. Well, one of the things about recent events that could have a positive effect is it raises awareness of actual history, not of mythology that has been passed down in the South, sometimes willfully and deceitfully. So insofar, again, the bad faith actors, you just have to kind of wait for them to live out their lives and go away and hope their children are better than they are. But for the people who truly don't know any better and are saying, but that's not what the flag means to me, at least stuff like this will help enlighten them. Yes, but that's not what the flag actually means. Of course, there should be a ban in NASCAR on the racist flag of Southern treason.
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. Molly started us off right. It's absurd that we're having this conversation right now. And I agree with you, Max. Obviously, I don't think it should be illegal. Like, in our country, you can do things like that. That should be legal. I don't have to like it. But in a business, like, it would seem to make sense that the fact that it hasn't been banned up until now is scary, but you're making an environment that feels like it is, I was going to say not inclusive, but it's exclusive. Like, the flag represents the subjugation of people. And I just can't get over the people saying, trying to claim ignorance. And like, we weren't, what is it, a week ago now, maybe less than that, when when Drew Brees said that he didn't know or he didn't understand. Like, I feel like we're at a point now in this country where no one else can claim ignorance about any of this stuff, particularly the Confederate flag. Like, at this point, you can't be unaware of what the Confederate flag means or what it stood for. You can't be unaware of what it suggests or not suggests. Again, I'm couching these words in an unnecessary way. What it is clearly stating, what people who wave that flag are clearly on the side of, subjugation and saying that black people are less than human and black people should work for free. Like, that stuff is awful to me, and ignorance is not an excuse. It's a James Baldwin quote that I looked up a second ago that has been on my mind when it comes to ignorance, because a lot of people have been calling and texting me and saying, I just didn't quite know. I didn't understand how bad it was. And ignorance is not an excuse. The quote is that ignorance allied with power is the most ferocious enemy justice has or justice can have. Mm. So, like, I don't excuse anybody, particularly people in NASCAR who have power to stop this, or the people in the tailgate area of NASCAR who have the power to raise that flag or lower that flag. Like, just because you're ignorant does not excuse you. That is a problem.
Straight talk coming right there from Dominique Foxworth, Straight Talk Wireless. No contracts, no compromise. Now, when I want to have a serious conversation about NASCAR, there's one person on my speed dial that's always the first person I reach out to. That's ESPN NASCAR reporter Ryan McGee. And I think it's important to bring McGee on here because we have some similarities in our background. We have a lot of South in both of our backgrounds. And McGee, I want to start with some acknowledgement because I spent a lot of time, as you know, in country music. You've spent so much time around NASCAR. I mean, I understand that I've grown up with a group of people over the last 20 years that see some meaning to the Confederate flag that's not the same as other people see that meaning to the Confederate flag. But conversely, those people are all white guys that have a different history of the South, right? So I want to start by acknowledging I understand there are people that don't agree with this argument. What I'm trying to wrap my head around it with is, where's the benefit in keeping a flag up that hurts so many people?
That flag should be in a museum. That's what I say all the time. You want to display a Stars and Bars Confederate flag, you go display it in a museum at a battlefield national park. That's where you display it. And you know, I remember Marty Smith and I had this conversation back when Marty and McGee was a podcast. And this was after the church shooting in Charleston. And the debate for the 9 millionth time came up about the fact that the Stars and Bars flew over the State House in South Carolina, you know, the Capitol building in Columbia, South Carolina. And we're both screaming to take it down. And people were like, you're betraying, you know, you don't understand. Yeah, I understand. I'm literally right now, Fitz, I'm talking to you from the coast of North Carolina, just south of Fort Fisher. And I had direct family members. I'm a direct descendant of men who fought for the Confederacy at Fort Fisher, were taken prisoner of war and sat in the Hellmyra prison camp in upstate New York and had to walk home to North Carolina was over with. So don't tell me about what that flag means. I know exactly what that flag flew over, and that's dead and gone. That is done. That should be in a museum, because my people were on the wrong side of the deal, and that's why they lost, and the right side won that thing. And so we're talking about a war that happened so long ago. So I don't need any rednecks coming at me about heritage versus hate or whatever. I know exactly what they've done with that flag. And so that's why that flag should be on display in a museum, to explain to my daughter's generation why that flag was flown. And it was on the wrong side of history. Simple as that. And listen, whatever, man. You and I both have been to plenty of events with Stars and Bars with Bo Cephas's face on it, right? Or Dale Earnhardt's number 3 on it. I get all that. Mm-hmm. Fine. That day's done. It's done. And what I say all the time is, when I first started covering races at the Darlington Raceway in South Carolina in the mid-90s, there was a guy who sold Confederate flags with this folding table right at the entrance of the Winston Cup Series garage, because he knew that's where all the fans would congregate to see race car drivers. I haven't seen that guy in 25 years. And so what I've told people is that when I used to cover races, there were hundreds of Confederate flags. I go to Daytona now, I might see a dozen big ones, maybe. And so it's not what it was, but they still need to go away completely. You want to see one? Fine. You know what? There are so many fantastic American historic museums around the nation where you can go see that and learn what it's about. But I don't need to see you flying it in my face because you think I don't understand what that flag was, because I understand it more than you do.
Well, and we're talking to ESPN and NASCAR reporter Ryan McGee. I appreciate your passion on it, man. And what I love about what you're saying in a museum is that a museum allows it to have some level of context, some level of discussion about, hey, this is what it meant to one group of people, and this is what it meant to another, and this is why it became so divisive, rightfully so, in American history, right? Like, there are so many things that you can explain in a museum that can educate people so that we don't go down paths we've gone through before, and so that we improve from those moments and we get better as a country. What you can't have is that context when it's just flying at a race, because it's hurting people. And I think that's what Bubba Wallace, even in his words today with Golden Kawingo, coming in and saying, hey, the acknowledgement that if it's causing that level of emotion to people, we need to just take it down. If I'm NASCAR, how do I not right now? I mean, you and I have had some pretty transparent conversations about NASCAR trying to change their image. Yeah. Isn't this the perfect way for NASCAR to step up and say, we aren't who you think we are?
Yeah, and Bubba Wallace deserves so much credit, because as awful as this whole experience has been since George Floyd's death, and it's also been cathartic, and it's also been, you know, the grease on the rails to make things happen and to give people a platform and to give them a voice they didn't have before. I wrote a story 2.5 years ago for ESPN the magazine about Bubba Wallace, where he talked about his when he was 9 years old, had a cousin shot and killed by police in Knoxville, by the Knoxville Police Department in Tennessee, where his family's from, and where, you know, right after he'd won his first race and had some money and bought a tricked out Jeep, he got pulled over for failure to give a turn signal while changing lanes. And next thing you know, there's 5 squad cars and 3 dogs searching his car for drugs. I mean, these are the things that Bubba Wallace has talked about before, and no one heard it. And now he talks about it, and there's an audience. He can call Jimmy Johnson on the phone and say, these are the things that happened to me. And that's how we ended up with that video from the drivers on Sunday in Atlanta and the pre-race ceremonies in Atlanta. That's how, you know, I mean, listen, you cannot overstate the significance of Richard Petty's car, the number 43, the most famous number in the history of American motorsports, tonight at the Martinsville Speedway, just down the road from the hometown of Wendell Scott, the only other full-time African-American race car driver in the history of the NASCAR Cup Series before Bubba Wallace. That car will be on the track tonight with a message of unity and with hashtag Black Lives Matter and with that image that we see so many times now of, you know, the white hand and the black hand, you know, locked in an embrace. And you cannot overstate the significance of that. And so I give Bubba Wallace credit. And listen, do your history. There was a time when the swastika didn't mean anything. It just was a symbol. And someone took that and turned it into maybe the greatest symbol of evil in the history of planet Earth. And I don't want to hear anybody talk about heritage versus hate, because I know exactly why you're flying that flag. I know exactly why you're flying it, because I'm related to some of you. So I don't want to hear anybody say I don't understand. Take it down.
I'm talking to ESPN NASCAR reporter Ryan McGee. So if the drivers are in support of it, and it seems like it makes so much sense, what's preventing NASCAR from doing it?
Well, nothing now. I mean, you know, and they did a flag exchange several years ago where, you know, it was the right idea, but it was kind of a punt, which was, hey, you know, if you take – this was after the shootings in Charleston. If you take that flag down and you bring it to the souvenir area, we will exchange that – we'll take that flag and you can take – any flag in the store, your favorite driver, the NASCAR logo, whatever. And that was great on paper. Not a lot of people did it. And it was a punt. And listen, I rode one time in a helicopter with the people who were in charge of the NASCAR merchandising, all, you know, the official stuff. And they would fly around in a helicopter with binoculars and find the tents of the guys who were selling the illegal t-shirts. Right? Just like you see outside of concerts. You know, the guy that's selling you the $5 shirt that you could have bought inside for $40.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen what they have the ability to do if it's going to cost them money. So I would love to see them, you know, put that same kind of juice behind, you know, enforcing a rule and not just a press release that says, you know, bring your flag to the souvenir stand.
You guys can listen to Marty and McGee Saturdays from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the SEC Network. Ryan, as always, man, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your knowledge and your insight. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for speaking from the heart, man. It means the world.
Every time you call, I'm going to answer.
You're the best. Ryan McGee joining us. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. This is Shower Sessions, part interview, part concert, all from the shower. I know it sounds weird, but you got to check it out. Grammy winner St. Vincent invites up-and-coming artists to sing, share, and get funky all in the sound booth of the home, the shower. Watch now at youtube.com/progressive. You got to get out there just to see, like, how everybody else does with their shower jam, right? Because at some point, you know you've done it. Like, we all understand that at some point, you're out there singing along in the shower. So this is just your opportunity to see how everybody else does it. We're taking your take as we go through the course of the stories today from First Take. Obviously, we've talked a lot about NASCAR. We've talked a lot about MLS and their return, but there's another conversation that's it's interesting based on an article out on ESPN.com. And ESPN.com's got a great article out there about the Players Coalition and Players Coalition trying to come together to make some improvements to change the world. This is sort of what we ask for at some point when we ask what players are doing. And that's part of the conversation every single time. Like, okay, they can talk about it today, but what are they actually doing to continue to try and seek change? Well, we're starting to get some answers to that because the Players Coalition has come together at this point. They've gathered the signature of more than 1,400 current retired athletes, coaches, GMs, and staff members from NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball for a letter to the U.S. Congress supporting a bill to end qualified immunity, which makes it difficult to sue police officers for brutality. So among the prominent athletes and coaches who signed the letter, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Myles Garrett, Alex Bregman, CC Sabathia, Steve Kerr, and Greg Popovich. So a lot of good information there. You can check the article out on ESPN.com. And the article was written by Mike Rothstein, who joins us now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line ESPN reporter. So I appreciate the time. What was really the catalyst that brought everybody together to make this the moment for the Players Coalition to use their voices for?
Well, the Players Coalition has been doing various things for years. And this goes back to, I think it was 2015 and 2016, when Anquan Boldin went to Congress to have conversations and to lobby. And if you remember a few months ago, and it feels like way longer than a few months ago, I think it was maybe a month actually, the Players Coalition wrote a letter in Georgia to call for an investigation into the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. So the Players Coalition has been involved. This initiative where they are calling on Congress to back the AMSA Presley bill, I think, is their biggest really push to date. And to me, again, this is just as an observer, probably the most comprehensive they've been able to get as far as number of athletes, coaches, general managers, executives within the NFL and other sports, because it's not just players and coaches that are on there. There are general managers that signed this letter. There are team presidents that signed this letter, all saying the same thing, that they want the end of qualified immunity in the United States. And listen, 1,400 people from the sports world, that's really impressive. I think there's no other way to put it.
So what kind of voice has you mentioned they've been active before. What kind of voice are they expecting to have with this? What kind of success can their voice have?
I mean, I think that remains to be seen, right? Like, that's the question with everything right now. Is right now it is a movement, and it's been the entire conversation of Black Lives Matter and social injustice and racism has been very top of mind everywhere. Now, the question is, what happens next, right? How does this sustain? And to me, what the Players Coalition did today is taking action and saying, hey, we are standing up for this. We think this is wrong. We want to see this changed. We support this bill that can enact change. And as I mentioned in the story, it goes beyond that bill in the Senate as well. There is a resolution that that I think are three senators and four others co-sponsored, basically calling for similar action to the end of qualified immunity. So that, to me, is the step. And that's what's happening here. It's the next step to try and affect change in what's going to be a process. I don't think anybody, and it's interesting, I just listened to Kerryon Johnson, the Detroit Lions running back, on a Zoom call about an hour ago. And he said, this could take years, this could take decades, but there is the beginning of possibly change. And that's what I think that this is. This is a step towards trying to enact change and saying, hey, we are here and we are making a statement that we feel this needs to change.
You're listening to First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Pitts talking to ESPN reporter Michael Rothstein. And you just mentioned the Lions. You've spent a long time covering that team. So we've seen Roger Goodell speak out on Friday. Now we see the Players Coalition continuing to use their voice. I'm left to wonder, do you feel like there will be a different voice from NFL players than we've seen in the past this coming season?
I mean, I think you've seen it already. Go to last week, and players very rarely, I think, in the Zoom calls that I participated in, again, just with the Lions, I think there was one football question over two or three Zoom calls. There were two Zoom calls today, and football questions were very hit and miss. You know, they didn't really exist. I think right now people, athletes, everyone wants to talk about this and wants to have real conversations, and those are happening on Zoom calls. Those are happening privately, and people, athletes, everyone is making pretty public statements as well. So I think right now it's having conversations, and that's where it is. You know, I look at the Emmanuel Acho videos. I don't know how many people have seen them, but they've been on he's done two of them. He did one with Matthew McConaughey that published, I think it was last night. Those are very powerful as well. And that's, to me, where I think things are at the moment. And it's tough to say where things are going to go next, because I just don't know that, and I couldn't even begin to predict that.
Well, but with that being said, in the past, we've seen players sort of speak and owners not necessarily willing to speak. What we have seen at this point are organizations, it feels like, that are more willing to get in front of a microphone and sort of speak their minds, whether it's Chris Ballard with the Colts or, Mark Davis made a statement with the Raiders. Shad Khan has encouraged the Jags. I mean, you can look across the NFL landscape and say that we're seeing sort of a different level of partnership than we've seen in the past. Does that surprise you?
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't been able to step back and give that a ton of thought, whether it surprises me or not. I think right now it's just people, myself included, as a 39-year-old white male, are just learning and listening and trying to understand things that we never could understand for many reasons. So I think that right now nationally, and that's happening in sports as well, that's what's going on. And as people are learning and becoming more educated, I think they're speaking more and trying to express their beliefs more. And that's what I think is happening right now. And people are, I'll go back to what Kerryon Johnson said about an hour ago, that, it seems like there's a lot of outrage and there's a lot of equal outrage. And that's what maybe will force change, is equal outrage. And that's kind of where he sees it. So I would look at his words and kind of say, yeah, I think that's maybe a little spot on.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at Mike Rothstein. Check out the article. It's out on ESPN.com. Man, great work on getting that out there. Really appreciate it, and appreciate you giving us the time to come on.
Hey, if it's any time, you know that.
Thanks, my friend. I appreciate you. And, it's really, these are interesting times to me in the NFL, because I'm not sure that we've necessarily seen this camaraderie between owner, front office, and player in the past when it comes to speaking out. And that, as, again, I referenced it earlier, the Jags, a team that don't necessarily get a ton of national attention, have been incredibly unified in their words coming out together as a team to make a difference. And part of the reason I feel like they've been able to do that is Shad Khan has also not been quiet, the owner of the team, in his want for affecting change. I was on hanging out with our buddies yesterday down in Jacksonville and said it at the time. If you're a Jags fan right now, you have a lot to be proud of with the organization because they've come out together and they've spoken together to try and affect continued conversation and change. And that's the importance of this. When you talk about the Players Coalition speaking out, when you talk about NFL players speaking out, it's because these voices have some level of resonance. I mean, that has to be pointed out here. When you talk about the voice that comes from huge sports superstars, it means something, not just to fans, but it means something to society in general. If I scream something in front of a microphone, let's be real, it doesn't have the same impact to the world as if Tom Brady says it, because his voice has more power. What we're seeing right now are athletes coming together to use that power to try and affect some level of change, and they're doing it no matter the sport. Doesn't matter if you're Bubba Wallace with NASCAR or if you're Tom Brady with the NFL. Everybody right now is coming out and using their voice, using their opportunity to try and affect change and make the world in some ways better. That's why I think so much of this right now today is a sports conversation. Because when you look across the landscape of the ability to create change, you need people with the loudest voices possible to continue to press forward for conversation. I've said it so many times on this show. We need to, in our own individual lives, look at our web. We need to look at people that are within our circle of influence, and we need to demand better. We need to demand more, not just from elected officials and not just from people in office and not just from people that run your local government, not just from all of the higher-ups that we want to talk to, but from people right now in your existing world. You need to ask for more. You need to demand more. Well, at some point, players have realized and they've come to an understanding that as individuals, for the brands that they represent, which is truly their own brand, as individuals, they are capable of standing up and having power with their voice. Power to keep a conversation going because when they speak, it resonates. Power to keep conversations going because when they speak, it becomes news. That's what players are doing right now. And we're seeing it from all sports, from all angles. And that, I think, is the most powerful difference in what we're seeing today versus what we've seen in the past. It doesn't matter at this point what sport you play. It doesn't matter at this point what your background is. It doesn't matter at this point, frankly, what color you are. What we are seeing is across the board a bond between owner, GM, front office, player across all sports. We're seeing a bond between white and black across all sports. We are seeing a bond coming together saying there has to be change. And that bond, coming from a sports world, is incredibly powerful. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Coming up next, USC trying to make amends with Reggie Bush. Is it too little? Too late? You'll hear what First Take thought of it next. First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. Bunch of guests on the show, Penzo Performance Line. If you missed any of them, go check out the First Take Your Take podcast. Really strong statements from Ryan McGee today that I think you should go listen to if you're a NASCAR fan. if you want to hear any of the thoughts on the Confederate flag. McGee was spectacular today and said it better than I'll ever be able to say it. So go check it out. It's on the podcast. You can get it on demand. In the meantime, you guys can chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. One of the questions I asked you earlier, if Major League Baseball does come back at some point, if you're a diehard, are you in? Are you going back to the sport? Are you disenfranchised? Or do you understand it? I'll take your take on it. Brandon from Texas, what's your take on Major League Baseball?
Hey, man, last few years I've been hearing a lot of players saying, no, they do it for the fans and they do it for the love of the games. You know, this is kind of showing their true colors, you know, focusing more on the money than more on the game itself and the fans who support them. I mean, 75% of the pay, I would rather take that and play the game that everybody loves and, you know, not lose MLB and lose their fans because all this bullcrap.
Well, and thanks for your take on it, Brandon. I think a lot of baseball fans echo that sentiment. Now, we have heard the opposite from some, and I totally respect that, but I think there are generations of fans that are going to look at this with an eye roll. Whether you blame the owners or you blame the players, either way, the conversation is going to make everybody uncomfortable that it became about money during a time that's so trying for so much of the country. Speaking of interesting conversations, they had one today on First Take about Reggie Bush specifically. Reggie Bush and USC have been able to reopen their relationship. They've been able to hug and make up today, and that caused some reaction for Dominique Foxworth about why this should have never happened to begin in the first place.
This attempt to appear pure by the NCAA and the Heisman Trophy and universities is embarrassing and unfortunate. It's not something that you should take away. I agree with you. Don't take away trophies or titles or anything for this minor infraction that Reggie Bush had, which actually shouldn't even been an infraction. Like, I do understand. The interesting thing is, I would understand, and you brought this up, if there was cheating, that's one thing. But we have evidence in professional sports that cheating has taken place multiple times and nobody's taken anybody's records away or anybody's trophies away. That stuff exists. But somehow, in the more impure system of college athletics, somehow that impure system tries to find some level of purity around their Heisman Trophy and around someone getting compensated. Undervalued, I might add. Compensated for being one of the best players of all time. He was so real. It was so fun. And if a year's worth of rent and $10,000 is what we had to pay to get this, my God, did you guys get a discount? They were in national championship games. People on the West Coast, the East Coast, the entire country were tuning in to watch this, making y'all more money, setting Pete Carroll up to go be a Super Bowl champion in the NFL. And somehow, the only person who has to pay any price for this is the young man who is putting this team ahead. And we obviously, it wasn't Matt Leiner who was the quarterback. He's not necessarily the reason why they were good. It was because of, in large part, because of Reggie Bush. So, I mean, I'm happy that he's happy about this, but as we established in the first segment of the show, I'm petty. I might not accept it if I was him. I'd tell him I was accepted and then come up there and give a speech about how stupid the NCAA is.
And look, Dominique Foxworth is not wrong, as usual, when he calls out the NCAA for being stupid about this. And it's important to call out the NCAA when it comes to this, because as much as we see the makeup between USC and Reggie Bush, and we joke about, oh, well, I mean, this was stupid. Remember, that wasn't just, this wasn't between them. This is an NCAA rule. So at this point, it's been 10 years since USC declared Bush basically untouchable at this point. But that was part of the punishment that was levied from the NCAA as part of the rules infraction. So they required this period all of a sudden, which is part of the joke. You know, the NCAA makes programs vacate victories. You got to give back the Heisman. If you're Reggie Bush, you got to give back national championship trophies. All of that stuff means far more to the players, I understand, in that moment than it does to fans, because the reality of it is nothing can take that moment away from a fan. Right? Nothing can take away the association of Reggie Bush, the football player, with USC if you're a fan or if you grew up watching that era of college football. So Wednesday was 10 years to the day that the NCAA made their announcement that USC had disassociated itself from Bush. So at this point, now we have the announcement that everybody's going to come back together. Now, the real question is, when are they going to realize that they should just give Reggie Bush back his Heisman? I understand that he received improper benefits. Free rent, $10,000. I understand all of that. Is that the reason he won the Heisman? No, it's not. At some point, you can take away team victories all you want. But when you're talking about Reggie Bush, You're talking about somebody that for those tiny benefits that he received, and I do mean tiny in the grand scheme of things compared to what he could have received on the open market if the NCAA didn't reduce the player's ability to do that. When you talk about what Reggie Bush was on the football field, who he was to USC football, there's no question that that Heisman should be handed back to him. I understand that they want to have some punishment to prevent people from doing things the wrong way in the eyes of the NCAA, but the real punishment here should be at some point the NCAA for limiting Reggie Bush from day one. I understand he broke the rules, but my God, let's not live with our heads in the sand, and let's realize that the Heisman Trophy belongs back with one of the best college football players any of us will ever see in our life play the game. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I appreciate you guys being with us for such difficult conversations, and we continue to move these conversations forward. Coming up next, the Will Cain Show is going to be next. He'll tell you who the most famous player in the NFL right now is. We've been debating that ourselves. He'll answer the question next. This has been First Take, Your Take.